Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Blog Talk Radio with your host, Pastor Cheryl Thaxton. Thank you so much for joining me today for Favor Life, the process of there where we walk by faith and not by sight to the call, the purpose, the destiny, and the purpose of God. And in that purpose, we discover our relationship with God grows more intimately. We understand our purpose even more, our God, the Word of God for us, how He has already provided a plan for us that's greater than our past, our present, or even our failures. He's also always pulling us, guiding us, loving us into the place where we are submissive unto His will. With loving kindness, the Bible says He has drawn us, and He continues to draw us with His loving kindness. So He draws us into the place where we submit unto His will. We answer the call, the purpose that He has purposed us for. We grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And we see the demonstration of His power being manifested in our life in a way that we are light to someone else. We are salt to someone else. We are that city that sits on a hill. They are drawn by the authority, the power, the love, the truth, the light of Jesus Christ. And as they are drawn to Him, they become part of the kingdom of God, or they're encouraged in their walk of faith, or they're strengthened to endure by our walk, our confession, and our faith. We've been studying faith in the Bible, looking at the heroes of faith, looking at how God used them, how God called them, and how they walked uprightly. These are ordinary people. These are not superhuman Christians. They're just ordinary people that God has chosen, and He chooses people for His purpose and plan that is greater than anything that they could ever encounter, or even their failures. This is encouraging to us because it lets us see ourselves that we are not superhuman Christians, but we are humans in this body that God's spirit, life, His power has it lives inside of us and develops us and moves us from glory to glory, height to height, depth to depth. And as we do, we see the demonstration of His power in our life in a way that we cannot explain, but we trust the God that we serve. We trust His word and His will for our lives. So we're going back and we're looking at the book of Noah. Looking at Noah again, he's one of the heroes of faith that is mentioned in Hebrews 11. And so we're going back and we're going back to Genesis, looking at his life, looking at his calling. And what we said the last episode was that God will, in a Noah walk, God will call you to do what has not been done, what has not been known, so to speak. And He will call you to do something that's unusual. During the time that God calls Noah, there was no rain on the earth. Dew, a mist came up and watered the earth. And God is calling him to do something that man has not seen. And he's going to have to take a mocking. So a Noah walk is going to be a mocking that you are going to have to go through. But it's going to press you into something that God wants to see demonstrated and manifested in the earth during his time and the season. It is to always to preserve the will of God, the intent of God. It is always to preserve what God wants and not what man wants. It's always to look, it's going to look righteous. It's always going to look like God. It's going to look like his character. And it's going to be something that other people don't understand, but you're going to have to do it. If the Lord is calling you to do a Noah walk, you would know it because it's his leading and his guiding, and it's him showing up in an unlikely way to do something extraordinary and extraordinary for you and for his glory. So when you look at Noah and you look at his life, the Bible says that Noah was a man that pleased God, and he pleased God in his generation. That means in the generation that he was in, he pleased God, he honored God, he looked righteously, he looked like what God wanted in the earth. It doesn't mean he was perfect. It means that he pleased God, and he was perfect in that generation doing what pleased God. Doing what God honored, God doing what looked like God, resembled God, doing what was righteous. And in our generations, we want God to look at us and say, we're honoring him. We're looking righteous. We're doing what he says. We're following hard after him, chasing him. We're doing what we know to do, to be the truth and be right with all of our heart, with all of our strength. And God applies mercy and grace to us so that, you know, where we fail in mind, in thinking, in actions, in words and deeds and attitudes, gratitudes, grace and mercy makes up for that. So it covers us. It keeps us covered. And that's what we want. But we're in hard pursuit of God's will in our generation. We want to make his name great. We want to make him seen. We want to make his righteousness be that which someone else is drawn to. So we want to be everything that God is saying. If we, you know, in our generation, we want to have that same kind of testimony. When God looks at our lives and when people look at our lives, they'll be able to say that we honored God to the best of our ability with looking at walking a righteous life. So the word says that God has called him to preach and to decree and declare the will of God to people who are given in marriage, who are buying businesses, who's celebrating and going on as if nothing is going to happen. They're enjoying pleasure. They're enjoying life. They're enjoying what they're doing. They're enjoying making money. They're enjoying sin. They're enjoying everything that they're doing as it is in this day and time. And we want to be careful that we don't get so caught up into living that we do not do the will of God, that we don't get so caught up into pleasure that we forget about doing the will of God, because we want to please the Father. We want to be like Jesus. We want to do what he's called us to do. We want to live the way he says, but we want to walk in the purpose that he's planned for us. And your purpose and my purpose may not be the same, but it does. The bottom line is we are of the family of faith, called by Jesus Christ, named by him, washed in his blood, and we are to honor and please him. So our life is not our own. It is his life. And because it's his life, we now serve him, honor him, and do what is pleasing in his sight. So we want to make sure that we're doing that, that we don't get caught up into just living and not living in purpose, living in what God has destined us to do and living for his glory. So we get here and we see that he preaches, and God's assignment for him is to get build an ark and to gather animals. Your assignment is going to be one that might be challenging, but God has already equipped you for it. He's already given you what you need. He's already given you favor. He's already provided the door of opportunity. He's already made the way, and all you're doing is obeying. And as you go forth in obedience and by faith, God will make everything else happen. Now, you have to understand, this is after the fall of man, so the earth and the animals and everything have gone wild. The earth is not even looking like it did in the beginning because of the fall of man. Animals are now not eating grass. They're eating each other. There's an appetite that has arisen in them. There is no fear or submission to man or anything like that. So you're seeing the earth itself not in the form of what God intended. But God now tells him to go and start gathering animals that would normally would have destroyed him. But because God has assigned this purpose, because God has assigned this plan, because God has assigned this destiny to Noah, nothing is going to stop him from doing what God says. So even in the midst of what should not be, God has commanded the animals and things to submit, follow, and to be led by Noah. But he has to build what God said exactly like God has given him, with the dimensions that God has given him, and it has to be exactly what he said. Now, to build something like that is takes a lot of time and energy and strength, but God allowed him to do it. Whatever God is telling you to build, whether it's your family, your marriage, your children, ministry, a community, those that are co-workers, encouraging them, whatever it is that God is telling you to build for his glory, he's already provided what you need to do it. And everything that you need to make that happen, God is going to command it to flow and to work together. Nothing was out of place. Nothing was out of joint. Everything was in alignment with the divine will of God. It started first with Noah's yes. his submission unto God. And as he submitted unto God, everything else was provided. Everything else aligned. Everything else flowed with what God had already ordained. And you have to understand that even in the midst of what you're going through, as you say yes and submit to God, he will cause everything to align to what he says. It doesn't mean that folks are not going to mock you, because Noah went through mocking. From the time he started obeying God, there was a mocking spirit that came after him, mocking him for building the ark, mocking him for preaching, mocking him for gathering the animals. It was a mocking spirit that was there, laughing at him, saying that he was out of order, he was out of line, that he was crazy, that he didn't know what he was doing, that he didn't know what he was talking about. You're going to go through, whenever you decide to do the will of God, mocking. But understand that as long as you are in the will of God and you know it's the will of God, it's not you thinking it's the will of God, but you know what God has said and you know what God has said and it's aligning with his word, then you can withstand the mocking. You have to go through, you're going to have to defend that God has already commanded this for your life. He's commanded this thing over your life, his will to be done over your life, and it's going to manifest his glory and before his praise. So you're going to have to submit. It's going to be hard, because sometimes that mocking might come to people that you never expected it. It might come to someone who thought you were your friend or church with you, a coworker, a family member, maybe even a spouse who doesn't understand. Especially if they're not walking with Jesus and you're the one that God is using to draw them and to win them over. So, you know, you're going to have to face that and say, God, you've given me the strength to go through this, and I'm going to endure it. I'm going to do what you said. I'm going to build what you said, and it's going to produce what you said, and it's going to look like you. And that's what you have to understand. The enemy will try to challenge you, and all, mocking is the way that he usually does, because many times we don't like to be mocked, and we don't like to look or stand out to look wrong or look like we don't know what we're doing. So many times the enemy will use that weapon. Many of us will shut down, but if you can do what he said, then do it and know that he's with you and he's for you, and the victory is going to come out in your favor. The victory is going to come out in glory to God, and you're going to see the demonstration of his power, and you're going to see the fruit that's going to come thereof. But you got to endure. He does this for the Lord, and he does this for the Lord when it begins to happen. When the rains begin to happen, you have to understand how they felt to be now inside of the ark that the Lord has allowed him to build, and then have the rain come and hear people who now want to come in, but the angels of the Lord have shut the door and they're guarding this door so that no one can go in. There are some times that God will shut things out and shut things, close things off, and it doesn't hear and how your heart may break. When God has shut it and closed it, he will not allow anyone to open it up. He will not allow anyone to go back to what he's already done. Because the time, he's given some people the opportunity to change, to turn, to submit to his will, and we don't have control over how God moves in the earth and what he does. But there will be certain situations that will say, it. There's no more. I'm not giving any more grace on this. I'm not giving any more grace on this matter. And he will close or shut the door or something. And when he does, you cannot change God's mind, change his heart. But you got to know that you and all could to show, to give, to demonstrate, to minister, to love, to whatever it is, you've done all that you know to do in your efforts and in your timing and in the time frame that God has given you to make sure that that individual or that situation have the opportunity to bow, submit, or change or become what God said. So we understand that when they were in the ark, God had them, and it was a scary thing to be in the ark and to feel the water and to feel the movement and feel hitting and bumping and all kinds of things. But they had to stay in peace knowing that God had them. You're going to have to stay in peace when you're riding the ark. And I'm talking literally a spiritual realm, that when things are bumping and it's movement and it feels like unsure and unsteady and you don't know what's going to happen, you've got to trust that God's got you. The same God that called you into that ark, the same God is going to keep you and protect you. I'm Pastor Cheryl Thaxton. That's all the time we have for today. We'll be back tomorrow with another empowerment. I pray that this has helped walk and empowering you and your trust and your faith to believe God. Have a wonderful and blessed day.